So, Pastor Robert, kind of our thought with this is the modern day missions network of people. We're just going to let this be kind of a tool that people can listen to. So missionaries just across the world, that this can be from someone who's a missionary, who's a pastor, who's lived it and done it, that this could be something that's maybe a blessing to them to just hear about different topics of missions.
I'll do the best I can.
So, Pastor Robert, you travel all around the world meeting with and speaking to pastors. What are a couple of the main things you tell pastors when it comes to their church and their involvement in international missions?
Well, there are two questions to me. Is involved in the church, one of our main messages when we travel is don't be afraid to change. Quit defending what doesn't work, because in missions and in local church work, results matter.
Yeah.
So if it's not working, don't make an excuse. There's so many great models and places to learn how to tweak it and make it work. So just be an incessant tweaker and we can get the church going again. Occasionally people will tell me something like, well, our church is small, but we're deep. And I just tell them, you know, God loves your city and he loves more than the 50 people you have in that city.
So good.
So just go reach the rest.
Yes.
You've seen a lot in missions over the years and not just in Peru. What are some of the things that you're seeing right now in missions that excite you? And then maybe some things that concern you as well.
Gosh, I'll go with the concern first. And this is a concern that I've talked with other friends, pastors, and missionaries about, is there seems to be less of an interest in missions than before. You know, there was a couple generations ago, going back to the People's Church, J. Oswald Smith, until everybody has heard, how can some hear twice when others haven't heard once?
Right.
And there was a major push to missions. That push seems like it's gone. And that's a worry to me, because if there's ever a time we need more missions, not less, is now.
That's right.
And I'm not talking about nationals. I'm talking about people, cross-cultural,
yes,
missionaries going. There's a desperate need. I think there is a Macedonian call from many countries around the world to go. So the concern is that I read a statistic. You guys at Modern Day probably already know about this, but it used to be the largest missionary agency in the United States was the Southern Baptists.
Right.
Today, the Southern Baptists have 5,000 full-time missionaries, but the Mormons have 75,000.
Wow.
So the acid test, if you believe the gospel, is, are you reaching the world?
Yes.
And that's just a concern. It's a worry. The exciting thing is there's a new model of church, life-giving churches. And in these life-giving churches, I was talking to a friend, Greg Surratt, the president of ARC, about, I said, how do you define life-giving, a life-giving church? And he says, you can't, it's hard to define what it is, but you know what life-sucking is. Well, that helped me, because I want life-giving missions.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people know what life-sucking missions is.
Right.
And a lot of pastors have had a bad experience with that. But there's a new generation coming up of life-giving missions. I think Modern Day is a part of it. It's a generation of youth going out again.
That's right.
And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the future. But it's still so small compared to the Macedonian call from around the world that is saying, now come to us.
When people think missionaries in general, I think many people have a generic image that comes into their mind of poor rural areas of maybe Africa or some other country, when in reality our world is becoming one large urban center. Can you talk a bit about the modern missionary who we might not find out in the bush, so to speak, in Africa, but maybe at a Starbucks or someplace like it, and how missions has evolved over the years in this way?
Oh, my. Yeah, it seems like everybody wants to be Indiana Jones. They want to go out there and do the jungles. For my first few years of mission studies when I was in San Diego, California, in Bible college, I read all the missionary books, the jungle books, Through Gates of Splendor, Nate Saint's Life, or yes. Jim Elliot, and I really wanted to go to the jungles. But now that I've come to Peru, God kind of pulls, you know, puts a hook in your mouth. You think you're going to go one place and you end up someplace else.
Right.
Now I thank God I don't live in the jungle. The romance of the jungle is about 5 minutes.
Yes.
With the heat and the mosquitoes.
Yes.
But the people are in the cities.
Right.
People. That's and right. That's what we're here for. It's people.
Amen.
Missions has changed. And unfortunately, the concept a lot of churches have is they think missions should be cheap. Missions is not cheap. It's very expensive. It will cost you everything.
That's absolutely right.
It'll cost the missionaries, their youth, their life at times. So we shouldn't do missions based on, is it inexpensive? Or this person's less cheap, they're expensive than this person.
Right.
That's one area missions has changed. Actually, missions is expensive. It is a sacrifice. But let the sacrifice be shared by the sender and the goer.
Amen.
Another area of change, and I like to say this, if you accept the philosophy, you accept the consequence. Mm. And for years, there's been philosophies in churches, philosophies in missions especially. And if you accept those philosophies, you accept the consequence. An example, today people say England is postmodern.
Mm-hmm.
It's post-Christian. The greatest days of England were 100 years ago with Wesley and Spurgeon, and those days are gone. It's postmodern. They'll say Paris is secular and doesn't want the gospel. You'll hear the same thing about Germany. You'll hear the same thing in Japan. They'll say it's a missionary graveyard. Takes in a lifetime to win one Japanese. Well, if you accept the philosophy, you accept the consequence.
Wow.
My friend Gary Clark went to England, didn't accept that it's hard, and has 15,000 youth in his church.
Wow.
Brendan White went to Paris as an Australian, and in 3 years, 6,000 born-again Paris youth in his church.
Amazing.
Have a friend, Rod Plummer, went to Japan. And Rod Plummer didn't accept the philosophy that Japan is hard. And in 4 years, 6,000 people in the church. In 7 years, planted 17 churches, each one the largest one in its city, full of Japanese youth.
Praise God.
So what that tells me is this. People don't reject Jesus. They reject tradition.
Yes.
We have the greatest message on earth. It's exactly what the world needs today. Exactly. The world is a hurting place, and the message we have can bring healing to a hurting world. The problem is people go to church looking for God, and they find Christians instead,
mm-hmm.
Or tradition.
Yeah.
And if we can get them out of tradition, don't be afraid to change, do church a little different, because the message is that good, that you will find an inroad into that culture, into that country.
Awesome. If you could go back many years ago to when you were first going to the mission field, what would be some advice you'd give yourself?
Good question. It's going to work out. God will provide. Missionaries are always worried about there's so much need and there's not enough provision. Don't be afraid to pace yourself. Learn to say no.
Yes.
Say yes to your family, no to all the opportunities that come up. Because I think there's two things the enemy will try to do with a young missionary. The first thing is, who are you? You can't go. What makes you think you'll do anything?
That's exactly right.
The second thing, once you go, is do too much and burn you out. So if you accept the first call and go, then get under a senior leadership person and learn to pace yourself, because they need Jesus, not what you can give.
Mm.
I mean, you can bring Jesus, but they're going to look for you for provision.
Yes.
And that can really frustrate you or burn you out.
So you live and pastor in Peru, but are obviously still very connected with America and the American church. From the chair you sit in, what are you seeing from the church in America and how they are going about international missions?
I see both. The traditional churches or traditional mission sending agencies can be a little stuck, still trying to reproduce what they saw in the 60s and 70s. When the world today has changed and the way we reach the world has changed. Like you said, people now live in urban jungle cities. Lima, the city we're in, is 12 million people and they all drive at once. So instead of complaining about traffic, I just say, thank God there's people. I can reach some people,
yes,
you know.
True.
Gosh, what was the question again?
Well, just from the chair you said, yeah. What are you seeing from the church in America and how they are going
yeah.
about the international?
There's some churches, if they keep trying to do it the old ways, they're going to frustrate themselves. They'll burn themselves out. Mm-hmm. They'll have some bad experiences. But there's some new stuff happening with life-giving missions, life-giving churches, going to life-giving missions, life-giving models, because what works in a church in the States will work now overseas. Mm. I like to say it this way. All over the world today, grandpa and grandma are different. Mm-hmm. Grandpa and grandma are different in Peru than in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And grandpa and grandma in Mexico are different than grandpa and grandma in Argentina or the United States. Grandpa and grandma in the United States are different than grandpa and grandma in Europe,
yes.
Africa, Asia, Middle East. So all over the world today, grandpa and grandma are different. But all over the world today, the kids are the same.
Wow.
Social media and the internet have torn down all frontiers.
Yes.
So we no longer need mission specialists, Christian anthropologists. Mm-hmm. I need your IT guy and your kids people.
Wow. Yeah.
Because what works now in a large church in the States is reproducible in any major city in the world, and those cities can reproduce it into their countries, into the smaller villages.
Wow. Wow. So this is, Danny really liked this question. If you had a magic wand and could fix, change, or implement one thing in regards to missions, what would that be?
If Danny liked that question, let him answer it. If there was a magic wand to fix one thing,
change or implement one thing in regard to missions, what would that be?
I'd love to go back to the old thought on missions,
okay,
where the people that we honored were the ones that went. Mm. I'd love to go back where there's an honor of the went, the honor of the sacrifice of those that go with the life-giving churches today.
Yes.
So we have life-giving but honor that, thank God, there are people that are willing to go cross culture, leave their home, leave their families, leave their language, leave their comfort foods, learn a new culture, a new language, live in a new city, sometimes in dangerous places, because God wants to bring a message to that city. So if we can get the old honor with the new life-giving, I think that would be amazing.
I love that you said old honor. I was raised in churches where I remember hearing growing up, we send our best.
Yeah.
We send our best. And obviously it's not because one person is greater than the other, but the value behind the missionary. And
when the missionary came through, there was people sat around and listened to his stories.
Like a hero.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Bible school sitting around those missionaries and how they inspired my life to do what we're doing today. And now you can go back and the churches no longer have that space.
Right.
Many because they no longer have a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be a way we can have the old honor. Thank God that there are those that are giving it to go to another nation, another country, learn another language, and it's not a short-term commitment. It takes a long time to really understand and become what we call cultural translators. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to get there, and you know, thank God there are those that are still going. But if we could have that old honor in church where they honor and sacrifice for the missionary and yet have that light, new life-giving styles.
Yeah. So lastly, for all the aspiring missionaries out there who are looking to change the world for Jesus, what would be a bit of wisdom or maybe affirmation you would give them?
Go. There's so much in there. If you feel it's in your heart to go, I remember, first of all, please be a sent, not a went.
Yes.
Make sure you go. I believe, like you said, the churches should send their best, which means when you are sent from a church, you leave a hole in that church.
Absolutely.
They need to feel your absence. Like, oh my God, what are we going to do? He's gone. And he did all these things in the church. You need to leave that hole there, because that means they're going to miss you, and they're going to pray for you, and they're going to help you, and they're going to support you when you're over there. Which leads us to another part. If you can't do it in the States, what makes you think you can do it overseas?
That's right.
So you have to be valuable at home, because what you do at home is what you'll do overseas. It's what you'll do in another country. It's not much different. Don't get a romantic idea that it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. So be valuable in your local church. And when you're sent, when they send you, you have to have left a hole there.
So Pastor Robert, this will be, you know, obviously at Modern Day alone, that, you know, we have 500 missionaries and then the network of thousands of people around us will be able to listen to this. So I just want to ask, maybe you would just close in just a simple prayer for missions, you know, just global missions and whatever's on your heart.
Yeah. Oh, Father, I love you so much. I'm so thankful. Thankful for the youth that are listening to this, that are feeling that tug in their heart to go. For a pastor that's listening to it and feeling the need to give to a life-giving mission place. And maybe that person that can be the life-giving one they send is in their own church. God, I pray, because your word says you love the world. God, you love the world. And the expression of love is giving. Love can never exist if it's just by itself or if it's all alone. Love is always giving to somebody, and you love and you gave your son. So we love the world you loved. If you love this world enough to die for it, raise up a people that love this world enough to reach it for you. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.